Blog Talk Radio.
Biblical principles. And so I want to
take the time, starting this morning, to start going through some of the areas that I believe that reparations and how they could and should be paid to us by the, and I'm going to make this specific, the so-called white Christian community. All white people are not Christians, okay? So I'm going to make it specific to all white, quote-unquote, Christians. And to say it another way, white believers in Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. And when I say white, I'm even talking to all those races, who races of people, ethnicities of people, who have treated us like they were white, wanted to put us beneath them and to enslave us. Or if they didn't want to enslave us, you know, they wanted to be separate and apart from us. They wanted to have us less than. And still today, treat us as less than. Because reparations, all of these so-called peoples have benefited from our enslavement, from our, being treated unjustly, and even beyond what the Most High called for in his punishment of us for disobedience. And the truth of the matter is, it was never their place to do these things. But the Most High caused, he caused, and he is the author and the finisher of that. But he says that they went too far. And so they are accountable for their actions. And I believe that true reparations and true healing has to be done in accordance with the laws of the Most High. And so I have been taking the time to go through the laws and the principles behind the laws and how they should be applied to our reparation. And we as African Americans, so-called Hebrews, so-called Negroes, also have a responsibility in this. And I will talk about that at some point, because if, and this is an if, and then the Most High never does anything unconditionally. Never does anything unconditionally. There's always an if to it. And the if is, if, you know, white America, white Christians are willing to do these things in accordance with the law, then African Americans have a duty by the scriptures to be forgiving. That is what our King called for. And any revenge or any vengeance that would be taken would be by the Most High. It would not be by us. He says, vengeance is his. We cannot control what the Most High does. We're responsible for our actions, just as they're responsible for theirs. And I believe that the Most High will truly forgive them for touching the apple of his eye in a way that he did not intend for them to do so, if they truly do these things. And so, you know, I want to give myself as much time as I need to portray this, the things that the Most High has put on my heart concerning this, the biblical principles that he has put on my heart as to how they can and should make us whole. And so, you know, this is going to be more than one lesson. We will be done with it, I know, before the end of our year, not the calendar year, the Gregorian calendar year, but the Hebrew year, which would be before the 9th or the 10th of March of this year. I'm not going to dwell in this thing forever. The Most I put this on my heart, and, you know, the truth of the matter is if we want to have true reparations, and we want to have true healing, then we have to follow biblical principles, not the doctrine and the tradition of men, because their nature would be to say they're giving us something or doing something for us and try their best to take it back or to not give it, to appear to give it and not give it. but it has to be done based upon biblical principles. And I'm going to post these things eventually once I refine them to our website. You know, and I would hope that after I finish this, that this would be the stance of the congregation. Not anything that we are hiding, that we are afraid to speak on, afraid to live by, because, you know, we have to stand on Messiah, and we have to stand on the Most High, and we have to stand on biblical principles. So we don't want to look at this thing from the standpoint of the world, but we want to look at it from the standpoint of, you know, what the Most High taught in his scriptures, in his law, concerning the weightier matters of the law. And this is where I started with this, the weightier matters of the law. And as it relates to the African-American experience and those that misuse the law, whether they were their own or whether they were biblical, misuse them to suppress us, to oppress us, to enslave us. And now that they are speaking that, you know, they want to, those that want to make reparations, then there is a way forward that are based upon the laws of the Most High and using his principles, his biblical principles, to do so. And so I don't really care what the world is saying or what the courts of the world are saying. Really, if we are considering ourselves believers, and I'm coming at this from the standpoint that we are in the body of Mashiach, and if we are truly in the body of Mashiach or the body of Jesus Christ, as the world would say it, then there is a responsibility that must be done. And as I said, we as African Americans, Hebrew Israelites, have a responsibility as well. And so I pray that, you know, this may make some people mad. It may release some people. It may, some people may say, hey, you're totally off your rocker. Whatever the case may be, you know, we are in this world, and we're not supposed to be of this world, but we are supposed to be a change agent in this world. And, you know, and I can't rightfully say those things and then not do or say anything about what is going on. Me personally, okay, can't say everybody has to do this, but me personally cannot teach these things and not do something. Not say something. And so this is my little part as the Most High has put it on my heart to address these things. And as I said, the Most High is my rock, and he is my standard. And so there is no way forward without him, and there is no way forward without using his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances in regards to this, both in the principles of Torah and the principles of the gospel together and moving forward. As I said, you know, if this is done, then I believe true healing and true reparations can come about. And, you know, whether the Most High takes us out of this land, leaves us in this land, whatever he's going to do, however he wants it done, his will be done. But the fact of the matter is that I feel compelled to speak on this matter. And as I said, this is specifically to the white race and those ethnicities of people who would be considered white or who have acted white in relationship to the African American, okay, so-called Negro. And so I pray that many people hear this. I pray that many people do not get offended because it is my desire, my heart, as most has put it on my heart, to do this in in the spirit of love and reconciliation. You know, we can't always complain about a situation and never, ever offer any solutions. And, you know, our solutions can't come out of hatred, the spirit of hatred, the spirit of hurt. Many things have been done to us over the centuries as a people. And we are in a peculiar place, and it's almost in a way it's like we're either really super angry or we are super desensitized. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we cannot be in denial that these things happen and have happened over the years, and that this is a type of slavery that never existed in the world. What was perpetrated on the African Americans, you know, and I could actually include, you know, all those individuals who came out of Israel, no matter where they ended up in the world. It's not just America that owes reparations. And that's why I sort of want to leave it general. But it is a particular type of people and a particular attitude, a people with an attitude that I would put into, lump into one group, that they believed the same way and thought that it was just to treat us that way. I don't care whether they were Caucasian or whether they were Indian. I don't care whether they were Japanese or, you know, whatever other ethnicities there were, whether they were Mexican or whatever, if they took on that belief that they were superior and that they are superior to the Hebrew Israelite, the African American, the Brazilian, the African Brazilian, the Hebrew African Brazilian. And I guess I need to clarify that. Those people who came through slavery as a result of their ancestors being disobedient to the Most High. But the Most High chose his people, and we are his people. And we were chosen for him for a reason. And we were punished by him for a reason. But the punishment was his and not theirs to give. And they took it upon themselves to conspire to come against the people of the Most High. And the Most High doesn't play that either. Okay, so hopefully it's my prayer that people will hear this series and that they will come to a conclusion that there is a way forward. It must be based on biblical principles and the Most High's laws, and how he says that restitution must be made according to his laws, the principle behind his laws. And that's why I said before when we were going through the laws that modern-day Christians have to understand that the laws of the Most High, the statutes of the Most High, the ordinances of the Most High were not done away with. They were not done away with. He did not delete them. He did not say, oh, I'm going to have a whole separate law for quote-unquote Christianity or believers in him who truly believe in Messiah and the lessons that he taught and the way of life that he said, how we should live and what's going to be in the future. Just enough. And so I'm speaking to those individuals. I'm not speaking to those that are Muslim or Hindu or anything else, because not the same faith. Don't worship the same Elohim, the same God. And so we are supposed to be one in Messiah. And if you hurt your finger, if you cut your finger, or if you drop something on your toe, or did something to some part of your body, you would do whatever it takes to make it heal, to make it whole. And it's from this principle that we have to look at this thing. Because Messiah said he was making one new man. One new man out of both Jew and Gentile. And so we got to understand this concept and move forward in it, not keeping ourselves separate and apart, because that's not within the spirit of the Most High. If we try to remain, we're Hebrew Israelites and we're going to remain separate and apart from the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are Gentiles, they're going to remain separate and apart from Hebrew Israelites, when we all believe or are supposed to be believing in the same Messiah, the same salvation, the same Elohim, supposed to be a part of the same body. And if we believe that we are separate, then I'm not speaking to you. Because the bottom line is, what the Most High has shown me in the scriptures, that he's not creating two separate bodies, even though they're going to be two separate bodies, those that are part of his body and those that are not. Point blank. And he doesn't care what color you are. He don't care what bloodline you are. He don't care what ethnicity you are. If you say you believe in him and you truly believe in him, then we are to be of one mind, one heart. And when a part of the body says, even the parts of the body that are less glorious, you know, you're not supposed to be bringing attention to certain parts of your body. You don't do it because of their function, but they serve an important function. And even if the world wants to put us in those, in that position, even though that's the work of the Most High, whatever he wants to do, but if the world wants to, the world as, when I say world, the Christian faith, the world of believers in Messiah, if they want to put us in a certain position, a less honorable position, then the Most High says that we are to treat those positions with double honor. We are to give honor to where honor is due, even for the lesser positions. Nobody is going to, you know, destroy part of their body because of the function that it performs. Nobody's going to say they're going to clog up their butthole because their anus, because doo-doo comes out of it. I'm not going to clean it. I'm not going to wipe it. I'm not going to take care of it. Whatever. Not going to do that. The most uncomely part. And it deserves honor. And so within these principles, these biblical principles, you know, no matter how you want to skin this cat, no matter how you want to break it down, then there is a reconciliation that must take place. And it has to come forward through the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High, through biblical principles. So I'm going to go ahead. I have sort of set the stage for this morning. As I said, it will be more than one series. That's why I labeled it from the beginning, part one. Don't know how many parts it will be. I just know that we will be finished with it before the start of this Hebrew year, for the first of Nisan. We'll not carry this into next year. So we're going to say what needs to be said and get the message out there. This will be, you know, I'm not going to say it's the congregation's official position, but it will be my official position. It will be the official position of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. And, you know, I pray that each member that joins, that they, you know, grab a hold of this and understand the spirit from which it's coming from, okay? And understand that we're not looking to pick a fight with anyone in the world, but truth is truth. And we have to be able to speak power, you know, speak truth to power. We have to be the salt of the earth, or else we'll get for nothing. So we have to be the salt of the
earth. Is now in the conference.
The salt of the earth.
The salt of the earth.
Or we are good for nothing.
Has left.
Okay. So With that being said, let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. And we will pray in, and we will begin this. We want to take the time to be able to walk through it and do it correctly. Do it correctly, because this is going to, as I say, represent to the public where I officially stand on this. There are people who don't go to this or attend this ministry, but they have found the site. They have found it through the farmers market site. It's not something that we are trying to hide or do anything like that. You know, it is what it is. And so we stand on our beliefs. We're not afraid of any man or anything. Fear the Most High. And fear not doing what he has told us to do. And so that is my position. And I refuse to be salt without flavor, with no effect, and to be of no action, and to not be helping to bring about the kingdom of Elohim in the world. That is what we are here for, to bring about his kingdom. So let's do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general. Wherever you may be, in North America or South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name whereby men must be saved. We want to welcome you all this morning, and we say Shabbat Shalom, or Sabbath peace to each and every one of you. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you, Yah. We lift you up, Father, for you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And we just glorify you on this morning, Father. And we bow down and we give you honor and grace. Hallelujah. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for redemption, Father. We thank you for your truth. Hallelujah and hallelujah and hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Father. All glory belongs to you and to you alone. Holy hands raised to our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our scripture this morning are actually going to come from the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, its flavor, wherefore or wherewith shall it be salted? Why are you going to use it? It is sent for good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. And a light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. May the Most High bless you, the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the more so doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so let us start this particular lesson. And as I said, this series. Okay. All right, so let us start this lesson. I'm going to start this in the parable of the Good Samaritan, because one of the principles within the scripture is, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan is not really a new story. Kind of is, but kind of not. The principle behind that story is not new in the scripture. The Most High told us concerning the poor, he says, close not your hand concerning the poor. In other words, open your hand and don't just give them what they need at the moment, but give them what they need to make them whole. If it's within your ability, then you want to not just give them, a couple of dollars. If it's within your ability, you need groceries right now, let me take you to the store and buy you groceries so that you're not out here, having to beg for food. That principle has always been there, that we don't just do the bare minimum to get somebody by. This has always been the principle behind his law. And especially for those who are our own. You know, we're supposed to do that for the enemies, our own enemies. But especially for your own, because he says that because we don't do these things, we will always have the poor among us. It's not that we're supposed to have the poor among us, but that we would always have them among us because we don't follow this principle. We don't, we want to look and say, oh, you must have did something wrong. Or, it ain't my problem. And the Most High doesn't want us to have that attitude toward any human being. If they are doing evil, he says he will take care of it. Some bear or some wild animal or a rock fall out the sky is doing it and he takes care of it. But as far as our treatment of our fellow man, he always wants us to be of a mindset that we are going to go above and beyond to see to the need, okay? And so he better makes a better example in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And for those that can hear it, then let them hear. So the parable of the Good Samaritan found in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. Let's go there. Luke chapter 25 through 37, because this is the principle behind which reparation and healing should be coming from, okay? So let me pull up my Bible, go to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, let's get verses 25 through 37. And the principle behind this, even when we read this not too recently ago, you know, it just brings back up what the Most High truly is looking for out of those who say they believe in him. As I said, I don't care whether you are black, white, green, yellow, orange, purple, whether you are Martian, from Venus, from the moon, if you believe in him and have been saved, truly been saved, and you are truly part of his body, then this is the way that he will judge us, how he wants his body to perform. So let's start here. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he was willing to justify himself, and said unto Yeshua, and who is my neighbor? So he understood that he's supposed to love the Most High with all his soul and all his might and all his strength, but he really did not want to love everybody. He wanted to have some prejudice, some type of feeling that he was better than some people, probably even among his own people. Maybe it was a status thing. But the scriptures are to mankind and not just to Israel. The Most High is the creator of mankind. And just like, you know, let me clear something up before we move forward. Just as the Most High gave his statutes, laws, and commandments, his ordinances to Israel, that was not just for Israel. It was never intended to be just for Israel. It was intended to be for the world. He is the creator of the world. But the world went off course and went helter-skelter, and every race of men start doing their own thing, and mainly to control themselves, because they did not want the Most High to control them. And so these laws were not just for Israel. He chose Israel to be his representative and to be his priesthood, to be his go-between between man and him. And Israel failed. Okay? But these laws, his laws, statutes, commandments, and ordinances, judgments were never just for Israel. And so when the world, when Christianity wants to, and the Catholic Church did this, and I'm just going to say it, the Catholic Church did this intentionally. And it is they who are the culprit of this train of thought, that we don't want to be like the Jews, and we don't want to fall up under the same laws they fell up under. And all the other Christian denominations come out of the Catholic Church, and they have maintained this train of thought, this spirit. So understand that the statutes, laws, and commandments, the ordinances, and judgments of the Most High were not just for Israel. Israel was supposed to be the beginning of it. And the Most High will see that Israel is the end of it via Messiah. And Messiah ruling Israel and the world. So understand that these principles that I'm speaking, they were not just to Israel. And the laws that we're going to talk about were not just to Israel. They were to those believers, whether they be known as Christians or just believers, or those that are in the way. Anybody who says that they are truly under the Messiah and under the true gospel, these things apply, and we cannot separate them. So this particular man, the scripture says that he wanted to justify himself because he knew that he treated certain people or other people differently. So who's my neighbor? Do I got to treat the Canaanite the same, or the Hittite, or the Jebusite, or the Egyptian, or the sons of Japheth, the sons of Ham? Do I got to treat them different than I treat my fellow Shemites? And even within my fellow Shemites, do I got to treat those, you know, do I have to treat those Shemites that are not of the seed of Abraham, the children of Israel, do I got to treat them, consider them a neighbor? He had some prejudice in him. So he's asking Messiah, who is my neighbor? Because he wants to justify himself. So let's read that verse again, because this is not Brother Miles saying this. This is the scripture. But he willing to justify himself said unto Yeshua, who is my neighbor? And Yeshua answered, said, a certain man. Now he's going to speak to him now in a parable, since you want to justify yourself. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So they see this man wounded on the road. They don't consider him one of their loved ones. They don't consider him a neighbor. And they don't stop to help. Not my business. Okay? Don't care who did it. Don't care who he is. Not my business. I'm going to stay over here on the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now today, if we saw somebody in this condition, we might dial 911. And we will feel we have done our part. You know, hey, we at least we did that. But the truth of the matter is, the moral of the story is, the Most High wants us to make sure that this person truly is okay. Now, if you go there and he says, hey, I got it, my family's got me or whatever, then you've done what you're supposed to do. If he's got nobody, then he wants you to understand that you're obligated to make sure that this person is made whole. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 tenths, whatever that was worth in that day. Evidently, it was. He felt like it was enough to cover this man until he came back. And gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, again, the moral of the story was he's going to make sure that this man was in a condition where he couldn't take care of himself. He was robbed. All his money was taken. He couldn't pay for himself. And while he's getting better, he cannot take care of himself. And so from that standpoint, the world, and we're going to look at this from several different positions, this starting with the Good Samaritan, just one. But we as a people, the things that we are the man that is on the side of the road, that was robbed and beaten and left on the side of the road. And no matter what country we're in, no matter where we're at, you know, through slavery and racism, we have been beat down. We have been more or less left to fend for ourselves with nothing. And then told to, you know, pull ourselves, own selves up by our bootstraps. That is not the spirit of the Good Samaritan. So those individuals, like they needed to help us, that felt that and understood that the things that had been done to us as a people, stolen from our homeland, taken as prisoners of war into a nation that was not ours, forced into chattel slavery, treated less than they treat their own animals. Those who did those things and those who stood by and watched those things and did nothing about them, but called themselves Christians, called themselves believer in Messiah, did not follow the teachings of Messiah, and are actually just as guilty, one versus the other, those that stood by and did nothing and those that actually perpetrated. One is the priest that walked by on one side of the road and decided to stay on the one side of the road. And one was one that was actively, those that were actively prejudiced, racist. They are those two people in this parable. And they saw our condition. One actually caused it and was a participant in causing it. May have been their relative. May have been a brother, a father, an uncle. But they knew, and had it, you know, had they had the opportunity, they would have participated. So they are the two people, the Levite priest and a certain priest, that they believe in Messiah. These are religious people, and say that they believe in the God of the Bible. And so they walk by on the other side of the road. Either they help do it or they watch do it. And in this parable, then you got those that would stop, or they, you know, this is wrong, but they weren't willing to do everything to help us as a people to be made whole. When we were not able to make ourselves whole, because we had been, the system had been designed that we should not be whole. And when they saw that injustice, they did nothing about it. Or if they did do something about it, they only went as far as they were comfortable and did things that were window dressing. So we're going to give you the 13th and the 14th Amendment, but we're not going to enforce them. We're not going to enforce them. And so we're going to tell people that this is wrong, but when we see it, we're not going to stop it. We're going to say we're going to stop it. And so it's very hypocritical. That's wrong, but we're not going to do anything about it. So this requires some certain steps to be taken. One is acknowledgement and repentance. And this is to recognize the historical wrong that were done to us. Now, I thought long and hard on the things that people from certain races were portraying on us, and how they don't want critical race, they don't want the truth taught in the school. They don't want what their forefathers actually did to be known by their descendants. They want to sweep it under the carpet, or they want to hide it so that their children don't have to bear the burden of what happened. But true repentance requires acknowledging the truth and the facts of what went on, and you can't repent, truly repent, if you don't know the truth and you don't accept the truth about what was done. to us as a people. And so as a society, America and the world has to acknowledge historical wrong that they have done to us as a people. It doesn't matter what land we're in, okay? But I can speak to the wrong done to African Americans or Hebrew Israelites who have been who were brought to the Americas. Okay, let's go to the Book of James, chapter 4, recognizing historical wrongs and repentance. Got to recognize, hey, yeah, we did these things, and these things actually were done to your people, and we did it. Our forefathers did it. Because without that, you can never truly be sorry and truly repent for what was done if you're in denial. Oh, no, we didn't do that. It's like the fornicator saying, no, I didn't actually do that. As the president, who was it? I can see his face and his name is escaping me. But was caught with Monica Lewinsky. I did not have sex with that woman when he clearly had sex with her. Okay, and he wanted to reclassify what sex was. Bill Clinton. President Bill Clinton.
Yes, Clinton.
Yeah, amen. He clearly had sex with her. But he did not want to acknowledge it and he did not truly want to repent of it. So James chapter 4 and verse 17. So whosoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And let me make sure that reads the same way in my KJV. So James chapter 4. And give me a hot second because my screens are moving around on me. The book of James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So if they know, they're up in their congregation, they are the pastors teaching them the principles of Christianity, teaching them the lessons that Messiah taught, should have been teaching them the laws of the Most High. But we know that a lot of times that did not happen. And so a lot of this, what I'm going to teach, I know that they will not be in agreement with everything, but the Most High did not cancel out his law. Okay. So doing right, the right thing, is in relationship to his laws and what he says, how we treat our fellow man. He says, if you know to do right, and even by your own standard. That's why he says that the Gentiles had a law unto themselves that he will hold them to. That if it was sin for them to do wrong to one of their own, it's sin for them to do right to any man. Can't have, you know, a double standard like that. So whosoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin, or to him that knows to do good and does and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's one precept. Second precept is in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. In this. So we have the parable of the Good Samaritan as the basis for this. We have that whosoever knows the right thing to do and don't do it, it's sin. It is a transgression of the Most High's law. And then Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And the word of the Most High reads, repent, you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing come from the prince, from the presence of Yah. Okay, so if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, then you should repent of it, confess it, turn away from it, and then do the right thing that your sins may be blotted out. Because how can they be blotted out if you throw them up under a rock, if you selectively don't remember them? Or if you want to say, well, you know, I wasn't a part of that, but you didn't do anything about it. You didn't do that the right thing was done. Then your sins in that area can't be blotted out because there was never any true repentance. There was a denial. There was like we try to use today, I've never had a slave. But your forefathers had a slave, and you benefit from your forefathers having slaves. And all of your wealth and your status is because your forefathers had slaves. You benefited from what was done to another people. And you know that it was wrong. Well, I personally didn't do it. Well, you benefited from it, and you did nothing about it. You knew that the right thing to do, and you did nothing about it, even today. And so you can't repent and turn back, that those sins may be blotted out. And the only way you're going to do that is to recognize historical wrongs that were committed against our people. So just as the Good Samaritan recognized the immediate need of the wounded man, Christian community of believers, must acknowledge the historical and ongoing injustices faced by African Americans, so-called Negroes. And, you know, I think I need to stop using that term African American, even though the world wants to classify us as that. But anybody from the continent of Africa, black, white, never went through slavery, come to become an American citizen would be considered an African American. So I really want to say those people who were taken, whose ancestors were taken as slaves and brought to the Western Hemisphere, whether the Americas, North or South America, any of the islands, that we're speaking to those individuals. And I'm just going to call them Hebrew Israelites. What tribe they are from, it doesn't concern me at this point. The fact is they are Hebrew Israelites. And it's those people that face these atrocities. Can't speak to how the other nations treated their own. But I am speaking toward how those nations treated us as a people, including slavery, segregation, systematic racism, and economic disparities. They must acknowledge that they perpetrated these wrongs on us. And that is so that those sins can be blotted out. Okay? If not, those sins remain. Repentance. This involves the sincere acknowledgement of the church, the church's complicity. This involves the acknowledgement of those individuals that knew it was wrong and did nothing and sat up in the pews, in the choir, in the pulpit, and did nothing while these atrocities went on. To sincerely repent. And even if they are believed in slavery, they have to repent. So they were silent. But this one is, they were in silence in face of racial injustice. Those that perpetrated and those that kept silent. and they have to make a commitment to change. That's true repentance. You don't say, I'm sorry about something, and then continue to do it. You don't say, I'm truly repent about something, and continue to fall into it. Continue to practice it. Continue to ignore it. Continue to act like it don't exist, or it wasn't your fault, if you weren't a benefactor of it. That's not true repentance. So we can't truly say that we are part of the body of Messiah and we never truly repented of such atrocities. So these things must take place through acknowledgement and then through repentance. Yes, our forefathers did these things. Yes, we implemented systems that continue to enforce those systems that degraded, put down black people, put down the Hebrew Israelites, those that came to this country in slavery, through slavery, and we either enforced it or we did nothing about it. Acknowledge those things and then commit to turning away from them, from turning away from that train of thought. And then active listening, because most of them don't want to hear it. Nobody, you know, most people, when they are in the wrong, don't want to hear about their wrongdoing. And they don't want to be educated. They definitely don't want their kids educated about what they did. I mean, I'm guilty of that. As a father, as a parent, there are things that I did not want my children to know as children that I had done. Did not want them to know that I had smoked or drank or smoked marijuana, ran the streets. Because I didn't want them to know those things that I felt like, hey, you know, I learned better. And I don't want them to be of that same mindset. And then later when they, you know, as people start to tell them things, because they're like, your father wasn't that way. He was like this. I'm like, it wasn't your business to tell them that. When it was time, when I felt it was time for them to know that, then I would tell them. But right now, I'm daddy, and I want them to look at me as daddy, and I don't want them to be thinking, because they don't never have known me to do those things because I stopped doing them. That was the old me. This is the new me. This is the occupant that now lives in this house. And so for you to think that it was your business to tell them, then you should have come to me first and said, hey. But I knew what the spirit was behind that. So, but I was guilty of that as well. Did not want them to know my dirt, not as my children. And when they were old enough and grown enough, then I would tell them, you know, yeah, your daddy wasn't always perfect. He wasn't always not doing these things. He wasn't always, you know, still not perfect. But I, you know, what you know of me, is what I wanted you to know of me, because that is who I had become. And what I did when I was younger, that's when I was younger. And they were mistakes, things that I should not have done. So there are people in the world that don't want to tell their children. They don't want to actively, in this case, the wrongs that their forefathers did and the wrongs that maybe they were taught, they don't want to acknowledge them. So let's go to James chapter 1 and let's get verse 19. As I said, this is going to be based on biblical principle and not just on, you know, what Miles thinks, but everything is based in the scriptures. Okay. to everything that I'm saying, then we're going to back it with scripture. And we're not going to cherry pick. And if somebody feels that I'm cherry picking, I want to know. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, because people will hear this. And some of the things I'm going to say, they'll be quick to get mad, quick to get upset. How dare he say that? And who do he think he is? But they really need to hear first before they speak. It's just like when I start talking about AI and during a conversation that I had with AI, one of the sisters just up and left and, you know, sent me a text to say, why are you even talking about that? And I said, you should listen first before you are too quick to judge. Hear the whole matter before you judge, because there are lessons to be learned. And you could be listening to an AI and think you're listening to a real person and don't even know it. And so before it gets to the point that people start worshiping this thing that's going to come forth, then they ought to learn what it is so they can recognize what it is. Okay. So James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, speak, and slow to wrath, because we will overreact. And so they need to listen to the things that they have done. And their children need to hear these things that they have done and be quick to hear it, but be slow to speak about it. They need to think about why. What made their parents do such things? And what would make them do such things? And do they want to be that type of person? Because they still have to choose whether they want to be that type of person or whether they want to be different. Just like we have to choose as a people. Do we want to commit the same sins our forefathers did? Do we want to make the same mistakes our forefathers did concerning the Most High? Or do we want to repent and turn away from those things? And the only way that we can do that is to be quick to hear what they did, be slow to speak about it, and slow to anger as far as we get upset because, oh, the world's trying to judge us, or the Most High's trying to judge us, because you never know where people are coming from. But do we want to make the same mistakes our ancestors made? And we cannot repent of them if we don't ever talk about what they did. And if we don't take credit, like they try to put the blame of Messiah being crucified on the Romans. Even though the Romans crucified him, it was our people, our ancestors that called for his crucifixion. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. It was because of our ancestors that he got crucified. The Romans were just a tool, but we want to say, oh, the Romans crucified him. And try to deflect the wrongdoing of our people onto the Romans. And so they have to do the same things when it comes to us. Accept what they have done and truly repent of it, but they got to be able to hear it. Oh, no, we don't want our children hearing that we lynch black people and that we burn black people, that we split open black people, that we rape black women, that we rape black men, that we use babies as alligator bait, that we did all these horrible things and more. We don't want them to know that. How then are they going to ever repent, and how will you ever repent? Those that don't want them to know don't want to repent. We understand that. They don't want to. But those that, and but if they are up, if they say that they are a Christian, they say they believe in Messiah, if they say that they've had the born-again experience, then they must repent or not blot it out. I don't care what they might feel in their heart, but the scripture just said their sins would not be blotted out unless they truly repented. Okay? Educate. Go to Jose. We're not talking to the world. We're not just talking to Israel. Because remember, when we say my people, in Messiah, there is both Jew and Gentile. So when we say my people, this is pointed to, this is addressing those individuals that say they belong to him. Both Jew and Gentile, my people. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we want to say we belong to Messiah and that we're his people, no matter what bloodline, no matter what race, if we are in Messiah, then we're destroyed because we don't want to face facts. We don't want to speak the truth. We don't want to take ownership of the truth. And we don't want to repent of the truth. That we did horrible things. And that they did horrible things. And so we have to engage in promoting education. The true story about what was done to us through African American history. Our history doesn't start at slavery. And what was done to us in slavery doesn't get to be swept up under the carpet. What was done to us, and even, for us as a people, how we got into this situation. Because we cannot heal as a people if we don't recognize and accept that we offended the Most High, how we originally got into this situation. They took it too far. They took it beyond what he ever wanted done. He never, anytime he sent us, anytime he sent us into slavery, whether it was into Babylon, or whether it was in Egypt, or whether it was in Assyria, or any of the other slaveries that he sent us into, we were never treated the way that we were treated in the transatlantic slave trade. He never instituted that type of slavery. That is an invention of man, and mainly white man, the sons of Japheth. That's their invention. And the Most High never condoned that. And so you have to talk about those things that were done and the challenges that they cause on a people when you intentionally do everything you can, create laws and create institutions that enforce that type of racism and slavery. When you make laws to enforce it, and when you develop institutions that enforce it, whether it's the police department or whether it's the banking institution, the church itself, then those things have to be acknowledged. Yeah, we did those things. And we put them in place. And we truly are today sorry that our forefathers did them, that we benefited from them. And you are the victim of them. You are the man that was left on the side of the road, left for dead, because in a lot of ways they tried to kill us as a people, in more ways than one. Tried to leave us powerless, leave us for dead. And if you live, you live. If you don't, if you die, you die. And so we have to thank Yah that you know, it wasn't his mind that we should be utterly destroyed, altogether destroyed from the earth. Because they would have done it. But it was not his will. And so they have to be willing to be educated in their churches, in their schools, within their families. To speak the truth. We did these things and a lot of things that we taught about the Hebrew Israelite, the African American, the so-called Negro, were not true. We perpetrated myths and lies and falsehoods to develop our prejudice so that we could justify doing what we did. That's true repentance. I need to say it in a way that's public. That's public. So not only they're hearing it at home, or they're hearing it in their churches where most of us won't be at, but they're doing it in a public way such that the African-American can also hear them. The Hebrew Israelite, so-called Negro, so-called African-American, can hear that these things are actually taking place and that they are sincere about it. You know, if somebody offends you, does something to you, and they're not willing to apologize and show sincerity concerning that thing, then the one who's been offended doesn't know whether to take their apology as is truth, don't know whether they can trust them because they don't seem sincere. And so white Christians as a whole, those that say that they are the Messiah, have to do this in that way. That's the only way that it will be believable. And that you genuinely are sorry for those things. And then at the same time, you got to be willing to promote justice. True justice. The Most High says judge rightfully. That would mean that you would provide true justice and equity. So let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. And let's get verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such are as the call of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth. Judge righteously. Now, let me finish reading this. And plead the cause of the poor and the needy. They taught at one time, and still maybe do today, that we were less than human. And that they considered us like the beast of the field. In a lot of ways, the lowest beast of the field. Because they thought, you know, they treated their horses and their dogs and anything that they put value to, they treated it better than they treated us. These are facts. To tell you about a pedigree of a horse or a dog 2,000 years ago, or as far back as they can keep it, but could not tell you the pedigree, the ancestry of their slaves, fed their animals better than they fed us. So they have to plead the case that, hey, we treated you guys less than, and the scripture says that we were supposed to judge righteously concerning you as being human beings, not being less than. and defend your rights. But we chose to do the opposite. So in the New American Standard, it reads, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Not the mute and the dumb, but it says destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. The mute is those that don't have a right to speak for themselves. When you make laws in the courts that we couldn't go, we didn't even have a right to go to court against you for the wrongdoings that you were doing. We couldn't plead our case. We were mute, and we were held as dumb. And so the Most High says that you were to judge righteously and that you were to plead our cause. Because you put us in that position to make us poor and needy. And so that is, you should be the advocate for true justice. Judge righteously. Judge according to the laws of the Most High. And apply those laws to your own self, to your people, in relationship to what you have done to the Hebrew Israelite, the African American, the so-called Negro. If we want true reparations, if we want true healing to take place, then these things must be done with a sincere heart. The wrongs must be acknowledged publicly from a race of people. And not only just announced publicly, but the same actions have to be taken to back that up to repentance. Must support and even help establish our communities. But we as a people, let me speak to this first, we as a people, along with these actions, have to come together as a community and start addressing our own sins within our own community. We can't expect other people to treat us righteously and to judge righteously among us when we aren't being righteous ourselves, among ourselves. When we aren't keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, the judgments, and the ordinances of the Most High in relationship to us as a people. We have to be doing it to ourselves and for ourselves. And then those that have practiced power over us, then have to apply those same standards to judge righteously in accordance with the laws of the Most High. So we have a responsibility in this ourselves. Remember, the original reason why we got here is because of disobedience to the Most High. So we must take accountability and take responsibility for that within our own community, regarding our own selves, and be willing to do whatever's necessary to those that will not comply. Apply the laws of the Most High, wherever they lead to, so that our own community comes into subjection to the Most High. That we're not dealing from a carnal mind, but we're dealing from a spiritual mind, the mind of the Most High, ourselves as a people. And in those nations that unjustly treated us, unrighteously, have to repent for their actions and do those things that I have previously said. support our communities. Once we are doing that, then they're obligated to support our communities. We have a lot of catching up to do. A lot of catching up to do. And so, go to Galatians. If we are true believers, if we are true Christians, if we are truly trying to be like Christ or HaMashiach or Messiah, if we are part of the body, then these things must take place. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Messiah, the law of Christ. If they helped, and they did, made us to be in this situation, part of reparations, true reparations is to bear that burden. And if we are, wherever we're behind in, whether it's financially, whether it's education, whatever it is, then they have to be willing to share in that burden since they are the cause of why that is. Can I say every person, every Hebrew Israelite would be the model outstanding citizen? No, I can't say that. But nobody knows where we would be had we been allowed at least equal footing. If we had not been discriminated against, if there were not laws put in place to make us less than, to hold us back. Not laws that we created, but laws that they created, instances that they created. So, the scripture tells them that if they find this, then they must bear the burden. To fulfill the law of Messiah, to become like him. And we also must be willing to do the same thing. But I have a special section for us. The vast majority of this will and is directed at the perpetrator of these atrocities through reparation and healing. If we really want those things to happen, then we have to be truthful. And they have to be truthful about the things that were done. And they have to be honest about whether they were bystanders or whether they actually participated, and be genuinely repentant of it, turn away from it. And they must actively advocate for justice as a people, as the body of Messiah. We have done wrong. And if we looked at it like as a body, and I'm just saying this in this way to make an example. But some people neglect their feet. And, you know, they pay no attention to them. They don't lotion them. Don't scrape dead skin off of them. Don't, you know, peel calluses off. Let their toenails get all crazy and raggedy. And they neglect their feet. And then one day their feet give them problems. Give them problems. And they realize that they've neglected them. Then they go about the business of doing everything that they can to repair their feet. And I'm going to go get a pedicure, and I'm going to, you know, start keeping them lotioned and defoliate them, keep dead skin off of them, and trim my nails and all these things so that my feet will feel better. And so my feet will feel equal to the rest of my body. Because I realize now that, hey, my feet are actually really a part of my body and I've been abusing it. Even if they look at it from that mindset, they would do what was necessary to make us whole. And so they would advocate for justice. They would actively support policies and initiatives that promote racial justice and equality in areas such as criminal justice. Because we know, hey, if you black, you go to jail in this country, you are not going to be treated the same way as a white person. You're not going to get the same justice. And a lot of the times, even today, if you are given a penalty, you're given the extreme penalty, where somebody white would be given the minimal penalty for the same crime. Not treated the same. My son, when he goes to court, and concerning his son, because he's black and the young woman is Mexican, the judge automatically wants to take her side every time. And so we point these things out. And if it continues, then, you know, we have to ask for a new venue, a new judge. Because this judge is already got her mind made up about certain things. Which, you know, the woman came in and she painted a picture, and my son missed a court date. And now this judge is saying, hey, this is what I'm going on, and no matter who comes in and says something different, he doesn't really want to change her mind. And I know that is simply because he's black. Okay, and that's that racial criminal system that always wanted to treat us less than, no matter what other race came in. And so when we fought it and she had to change her mind, had to do some things contrary to what she wanted to do, she ate it and did it, but still, if she could have her way, she would want to do something different. And so we're sort of using the court system and the lawyers to sort of guide her in the way she ought to go, because she was not being fair. We had to have other courts step in and, you know, overrule her in these matters. And, you know, I know she didn't like it. And in the end, it ended up ending up back in her court. So we have to do things in such a way that, you know, she could not just throw us under the bus or throw my son up under the bus. But the society is going to have to be forced to do that, because they automatically want to rule against us, even if we're right. They want to rule against us. And they want to give us, you know, if it's a penalty, the greater penalty. If it's justice, the least amount of justice. Something to be enforced, they want to enforce it against us. But if it's something to be enforced for us, they don't want to enforce it. It's always this duality, this injustice. So they got to actually support policies and initiatives that promote racial justice and equality. And if they hold society to it, if they want true healing, if they want true reparations, it's a mindset that has to be changed for there to be true reparations. That includes education, that includes health care, that includes economic opportunities. Because in all areas, we've been discriminated against. And it's been perpetrated by them. And so if they are sitting up in, as I said, sitting up in the pew, if they're in the choir, if they're in the pulpit, if they're claiming that they are followers of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ, if they say they are in the same body, then they have to repent of these, truly repent of them, that their sins may be blotted out, that they can get into the kingdom. Yes, be willing to build relationships, but we also have to be willing to build them too. But they also have to understand that there's a trust issue there. And if we as believers, as Christians, true Christians, aren't willing to build relationships, then true healing can't come about either. But they also have to understand that things have to be done in a way that they can build trust with us. And we can build trust with them. We should have these things in Messiah, but that just shows you how dysfunctional the body of Messiah is right now. How dysfunctional it is. Or there's a lot of us who are saying that we are believers, but we're not really part of the true body. One of the two. Either we are very dysfunctional, or there's a lot of us who say we are, but we are not. No two ways about it. We got to be willing to build relationships, whether these are cross-cultural and international. Because, as I said, it's not just one country. This is a worldly thing, a world thing, a global thing. And I don't care what country you go into, they're going to have some type of discriminatory practice against the Hebrew Israelite, so-called Negro, African American. They pass this along to the sons of Hamite because they really cannot tell us the difference between us. What they see is black. That's why they say black. And they want to lump us into one group. But the truth of the matter is, even the sons of Hamite, if we go into some of their countries, they're going to see us different from them. Because they know that we are different. And they're going to think that they're superior. Because, hey, we didn't go through slavery, you did. And so even they must repent for what they have done. So Ephesians chapter 2. And the reason that this should happen, the reason that this should happen, is solely based on Mashiach and being a member of his body. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 14. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. In the word of the Most High reads, "For he, Mashiach, is our peace, who has made both one." Now this is from the standpoint of Jew and Gentile. But we are the true Hebrews. We are the true tribes of Judah, and they have mistreated us, and even to those that have claimed to be us, that have not gone through the same persecutions as us, who have in different times in history, and I don't even know the whole story, but could be behind the vast majority of what we as a people have gone through. They have to truly repent and acknowledge, yeah, we took your history. We conspired to be you. And we caused things to come upon you, that we might take your identity, that we might become you, and that the world would fear offending us and then treat you like the dirt in the field. acknowledge that they did those things. Ephesians chapter 2, for he, Messiah, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. How can there be, how can the middle wall be broken down if we're coming at each other through the lens of hatred, prejudice, racism? How can the middle wall be broken down if you as a people believe that you're superior? When I say you as a people, that could be you as a people as a white people, or you as a people as a Hebrew Israelite. If either one believes that they're superior, how can the middle wall be broken down? It's always going to be that contention. When the Most High, when he requires that we all be of one mind, all be of one heart, all be of one thought. So we want to bring racism into it. We want to bring race into it. We want to bring ethnicity into it. We want to bring anything that will divide us into it. And feel justified doing it when the scriptures are not teaching it. And the word of the Messiah is not teaching that. Messiah died for all mankind. The Messiah chose us because he wanted to start with us, because we were nobody. We were few in number. He grew us into a nation to fulfill his will. But he says, I'm not a respecter of persons. If you don't do right by me, if you don't do what I say to do, then I will discard you. I don't care whether you are a Hebrew Israelite or whether you are a Gentile. If the natural branches were broken off because of our unbelief, he says to the Gentile, how much more? If you don't do right, will he break you off? He's not a respecter of persons. He wants us to do one thing, what he says to do, and how he says to do it. And if either group is not willing to do that, then we're not going to make it in. And as I see it today, that's why he says, few or many are called, Jew and Gentile alike. You are chosen, because we want to make it well. We want to make it, and we don't want to do it the way that he wants it done. We want to make our own doctrines and our own traditions. We want to come from a position of self instead of selflessness. Selfishness versus selflessness. So, he is our reason, and he is your reason. When I say our, I'm talking about true believers, true Christians. And if you have wronged your brother in Messiah, then you are obligated by Messiah and by the laws of the Most High, not laws of man, but by the laws of the Most High, to make it right. And to go all the way to make the one that you have wronged whole. That is the principle. He is the reason. We say we believe in him, then we will do what he says to do. And understand that he didn't come to destroy the statutes, laws, and commandments. He came to establish them. He came to show that they can be fulfilled. And they should be fulfilled from the position of love. And as long as we hold on to our racism, our hatred, our bigotry, we can never truly heal on both sides. Can never heal, and true reparations will never come about. But if we want true reparations, and we want true healing to take place, then these things must happen, and Messiah must be the reason for it, to bring us in compliance to Him. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And let's get verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. And the word of the Most High reads, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices Elohim is well pleased." Do good and to communicate good things. Don't forget to do it. If we have committed an evil, then we got to confess that we committed an evil and repent of it and turn away from it and be willing to do, to judge righteously and do the right thing and to make the person whole in accordance with the word of the Most High. In the New American Standard, it reads, "Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to Elohim," are pleasing to God. So if we do this on a national and an international level, because as I said, this is not just an American problem, but it's also international. If we foster genuine partnerships to bring about the word of Messiah, to treat each other, then there won't be those trying to be greater than and trying to make someone less than. We won't be looking at each other and what we can take from each other. To make this simple, if I have a dollar and I want you to be equal, then I can't keep my whole dollar. If there's two of us and I need to split it in half and give you 50% and I have 50%, then we're equal. When the world looks at other nations and feel like it's okay to go there and rape their continent of all the natural resources for their own purpose, and then turn around and bring what they took from whatever land they went into and sell it back to them in a different form at a greater price, something wrong with that. And this is the way the world has operated. And so it's hard to fulfill that scripture when we have that mindset to do good and communicate and forget not. To sacrifice so that everybody is equal. You want true reparations? Then everything that was taken from, held back, withheld from, the Hebrew Israelite, African-American, so-called Negro community around the world would need to be given back to them or be made equal to what you have now to fulfill the laws of Mashiach. And because we are so stuck on greed and we're so stuck on keeping what we have and we are want somebody to be lesser than, then we can't find a way to fulfill this. But if we want true reparations and true healing, this must happen. In accordance with the laws of the Most High. Restitution. This seems to be the, you know, the world will agree that, hey, reparations ought to be paid. But how do we repay? Okay. Let's go to Leviticus. Because, again, we want to base this on the laws of the Most High and not the laws of the world. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. And let's get verses 1 through 5. And Yah told Moses this, how to bring this about. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against Yah, alarm is going off. I need to charge it. Okay. If a soul sin and commit a trespass against Yah, and lie unto his neighbor in that which he delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in anything taken away by violence, or has deceived his neighbor, or has found that which was lost, and lies concerning it, and swears falsely, in any of these, that man does sin therein. Now, we know that these things were perpetrated against our people, okay, in these degrees, or have found that which was lost. Verse 4. Then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or that thing which he has deceitfully gotten, or that thing, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in principle, and shall add a fifth part, 20%, more part thereto, and give it unto him whom it pertains to in the day of his trespass offering. So, if we use the laws of the Most High, then everything that was taken from us by violence, by lying, deceit, by trickery, that they so-called were supposed to have found, that they know that was not theirs, then they're supposed to repay it and add 20% to it, a fifth part. That's the law. That's the restitution. So, I believe the state of California came up and said that the state of California owed like $40 trillion, but we don't know what that is globally, or we don't know what that is equates to the rest of this nation. And let me go back. That may have been $9 trillion and not $40 trillion. Then somebody else said they owe us $40 trillion. Say it was $9 trillion. Then they're supposed to add 20% to that. Whatever it is that they said that they're owed. Now, the kicker of this is, if that's not enough to make us whole, if $9 trillion plus 20%, 10% would be, I guess, $9 billion. So 20% would be $18 billion more, or some number like that, and I'm pulling that number out of my head. So if they were supposed to pay us all that in order to meet the laws of the Most High, if that were not enough to make us whole, according to the parable of the Good Samaritan, then whatever it takes to make us whole, they would see to that and do it gladly. So we're going to stop here on this morning. We're going to stop here for this on this morning and understand that the restitution and the support, if we do it within the laws of the Most High, and we're going to continue this conversation. It's been part one, and I just don't want to go past the hour. And if we're going to make restitution, one of the ways they could make restitution is to whatever they come up with saying that they owe us, or we say that we say that it's owed to us. Then they're supposed to add 20% to it. And if they're truly wanting to have true healing and true reparation, if that is not enough to make us whole, if it's come out that, hey, you know, that really wasn't enough, then on the second go around, we're willing to pay whatever it takes to make you whole, to undo what we did. Then they have to be willing to do it. These are by the laws and the principles of the guidelines that the Most High gave Israel in the scriptures. And I'm going to show where that can sometimes be three or four times what is owed. By the law of the Most High, maybe this is why they don't want to go by his law. To say we already owe him this much and he wants us to do it this many times over. But if we are true believers and true Christians in Messiah, then these are his laws. This is what the church, the body of believers, is required to do. So we're going to stop here, and we will pick this up on this evening. As I said, we're going to finish this before the beginning of the month. It's not done in hatred, but it's done in the spirit of truth. Because if we want true healing and true reparation, this is what the laws of the Most High call for. Acknowledge that this trespass has been done. Acknowledge who it's been done to. And know that what needs to be done to make it whole, to make the ones that have been the object of the predator to be made whole. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. And that I am not doing this to cause division or to, in the spirit of hate, but in the spirit of truth. And what the scriptures say must be done for true reparation and true healing to take place. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your day until this evening when we will pick this back up with part two, true reparation and true healing. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Shalom, family, and see you at this evening, at this evening's lesson. And where is my theme song?
Just words. You have no beginning, and you have no end. think it's amazing. It's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo. But I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always there. Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Shalom, brothers, sister Miles, Shalom family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom. Shalom, my family. Happy Sabbath to you all. You guys are seated.